I can barely hear this. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. I am Allie Rosen, joined by...
Joshua Nolan.
Hopefully this is going through, because I can't hear anything out of the headphones. Sounds like a normal day at WJRH. Nah, I'm kidding. The people here are great. So, I just jumped into Coldplay. All right. Sorry. Not the best start of the show today, guys, but we're going to be talking ensemble movies, some movie news from this week.
And it's family weekend this weekend.
It is family weekend.
All the families are here listening, so.
Yep. All right. So we are going through. We've got that. All right. So let's start off. I did not come through and did not actually watch the Seven Samurai.
You got it at a library.
I did rent it. I'll watch it before next week's show, and hopefully we'll get a review for you guys. And we did not see Magnificent Seven.
We didn't see the new one.
No, the new one.
But I did see my movie, though. I did my part.
Josh did see the original Magnificent Seven. So,
from 1960.
How is the original Magnificent Seven?
All right, so first, it's a little bit slow. I mean, as you can expect from an old movie, old Western. But I thought it was really fun. I really liked the way the seven of them play off each other. And so there's the beginning where it sort of introduces all the characters and they're
the seven.
Yeah. And it talks about, it sort of gives some background on the village. There's a village and it keeps being attacked and raided by this band of bandits, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's a very, very common story.
Yeah.
It's exactly how, that's how the Seven Samurai starts too.
Yeah. And the guy keeps coming, taking almost all their food and everything. But they just leave enough so they can keep going on. The poor farmers can keep going on. So they can keep coming back and raiding. Yep. And then, so eventually the farmers are at the point where if they come any more times, then they're going to be gone. They're going to be goners. And so they go into a border town in America to try to buy guns. They can't buy guns. But they end up finding this guy who's a really good shooter, and he's so cool.
Who's who's that played by?
Yul Brynner.
Okay.
The character's Chris. He's really cool. The bad guy's name is Calvera. But yeah.
Yes, Yul Brynner, very famous actor.
Yeah.
And movie stars Steve McQueen, Eli Wallach, Charles Bronson, Robert Vaughn. So there's a lot of big names.
Yeah.
It's one of the most famous Westerns of all time.
Yeah. And so beginning, right, they end up hiring this guy, and they don't have much, but he's kind of doing it just because it's a good thing to do. He ends up, instead of just trying to help them find people, he eventually decides to actually join them as well. So and there ends up being seven people in the town. So then there's sort of the middle of the movie, and it sort of just kind of goes. There's nothing really, really exciting that goes on. It's they go, they train the villagers, the gunmen kind of teach them to use their tools that they have because they don't really have a lot of guns. So they start using machetes and stuff and shovels. And then there's the ending. Oh, actually, no. Then the bandits come again and there's a big fight. Bandits lose a whole lot of people. They run off. But they know they'll be back because one of the guys sneaks into their camp.
Okay.
And hears them talking. Yeah, we're going to go back and get them.
All right.
So the seven of them decide, all right, you know what? We're going to go ambush them at their camp. Take them out. They go to the camp. And they're not there. Come back to the village. Calvera and his men have taken over the village. So they say, hey, listen, I know you're just doing this because you're paid to do it, but let's be real, it's not worth defending them. So then they ride off. The seven ride off. They don't actually ride off, obviously.
Yeah.
They go, they plan, they come back, they attack. And the final fight happens in the last 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of intermediate going on. But yeah, the final fight's awesome. Some of them end up dying.
All right, don't spoil anything.
Yeah.
Don't spoil anything past that. For anybody who has not seen the 1960 movie, The Magnificent Seven, yeah. I being one of them.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
All right, so one of the biggest questions that comes around with old movies is, does it hold up? Would you say that this is interesting to people of our generation?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's a really good Western. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Westerns, but I think it's a very good Western.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. There's a lot of issues with old movies are that some of them, especially for our generation, they run really long. So how do you think the pacing of this went?
So I think that it definitely had its slow moments. I mean, it's 2 hours and the final fight takes place in the last 10 minutes. So, you know, it's no current movie where it's all build up and then, I mean, it is all build up, but it's not a lot of suspense.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the story's really good. The actors are great. They work well. The seven work well together, as well as working with the farmers. So, yeah, it's giving a thumbs up.
Giving a thumbs up. All right, yeah. Sweet. So that is the Magnificent Seven. I will get a review of you guys for the
Seven Samurai,
which is the
1954
three and a half hour long, all in Japanese.
Yeah.
Seven. Yeah. Okay. So it's a very common it's a very common story though, and so yeah. We want to talk to that because they just remade it. Sadly,
and they also made a TV show on it.
They did. So
animated. I don't know if you're into that. Yeah.
All right. So we have because of the Magnificent Seven, we wanted to do the top five ensemble movies. So what do you think characterizes an ensemble movie, Josh?
I think an ensemble movie needs to have an ensemble in the movie.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
An ensemble cast, like a movie that has...
It doesn't have one main character. I mean, yeah. Okay, they have somebody that they could have somebody that stands out, but really it's all the characters that make the movie.
Yeah.
It couldn't just be one on their own.
There isn't just one big star in it. And so this is a very broad, broad category. And so yeah. I'm guessing our movies are going to be very different.
I hope. I mean...
I'd be surprised if we had many on the same.
Almost did all superhero movies, but...
Because, I mean, there are a lot of great superhero movies, especially in this generation where we have a lot of ensemble superhero movies. They all get their own movie, come together, and they have their big one.
Yeah.
So, there will
unless you're DC, and then you jump in after and then, one movie.
Yeah, unless you're DC, and then your first movie is an ensemble movie, yeah. And it just flops. Batman v Superman. All right, so, do you have any honorable mentions to start off?
Yeah. Got some. You're gonna be so mad at me.
Oh my god!
Honorable mention is Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that's fine. Didn't make my list.
Oh, okay. I mean, obviously, yes.
Yeah, it's so a great movie. One of my favorites of all time. Yeah.
Also, Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I like it. It's an awesome movie. I love the superhero movies, but it just didn't make. Yeah, top five.
A lot of people are going to be surprised. Ghostbusters did not make my list, only an honorable mention. It is in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, but I think it's a great movie, but I think these other movies work better as an ensemble than Ghostbusters does.
Any others?
That's the only honorable mention
I also have Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11, great movie.
Yeah.
All right, so top five. What's your number five?
All right, number five is Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, there you go.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't seen that, that's a classic.
And you're talking about the original, not the new one, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the original.
I haven't seen the new one.
So. Not Ghostbusters 2 either.
Ghostbusters. You think that's really bad, but I think that's a great movie.
It's just the first one all over again.
Yeah. Also, we have Ali's parents here, so they can confirm if old movies
and
are
grandma.
Really good. And grandma.
So we have some guests in the studio today.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters is a great movie. The main leads play off each other very well.
Oh, yeah.
Missing You, Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
He's great characters. And you don't really get one character. Would you say that the...
You also have what's her name?
Sigourney Weaver. She's great. You forget she's in that.
Yeah.
And guy from Little Shop of Horrors. Wow.
The funny guy. Also from Spaceballs.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now I feel awful. I forget his name.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to come back to me in the next 5 seconds and feel really bad. But yeah, no, Ghostbusters. Just like, why Ghostbusters?
Okay, because they work so well. It's a funny movie. It's really funny. And it's funny because the four of them sort of are just going at this. They're all nerds. And then suddenly they become these fighters. And... just that fact alone sort of makes a great movie. And then it's you throw in the ghosts and there's a little green one that runs around eating everything. And it just becomes a great movie and they really work well together.
So. Yeah, no, Ghostbusters is hilarious. Do you think their comedy plays really well?
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that a lot of, I mean, at least I'm looking at my list and none of these are comedy. Well, one of them's a comedy, but like.
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, there we go.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad about that. And Ghostbusters is a great ensemble movie.
Yeah.
All right.
What about your number five?
Number five. My dad suggested this one, but unbeknownst to his knowledge, it was already on my list at number five, is Dazed and Confused. If you didn't know about Dazed and Confused, the amount of star power in this movie is nuts.
I do not know it, so you gotta tell me a little about it.
If for people who don't know about Dazed and Confused but do know, have heard about the movie... Everybody Wants Some. Everybody Wants Some is the spiritual successor to Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused, Richard Linklater. It's basically a movie about him in high school. It's not like it's just kind of like about him growing up. It stars a giant cast of people that became huge. I mean, It's got Ben Affleck in it. It's got Matthew McConaughey's in it. A bunch of people I'm totally forgetting. It's like one guy from Oculus who smokes a lot. But yeah, it's a giant cast and not one character really plays itself. But without all of them being there, it wouldn't be as good as it would have been if it was just kind of focused on the main character. And I think that's a lot of what Richard Linklater does well, especially with, you see later on with Everybody Wants Them. Don't know. I think one of those guys is actually in a movie coming up. But yeah, it's just does a really great job. Every character plays off from each other. And yeah, no, I love that movie.
Is Everybody Wants Them also on your list?
Or? No, it is not.
So why do you think this one came?
Because this one's the original. It sounds like a stupid cop-out, but it really is. And it had a lot more fun to it than I think. And it had a little bit more going for it. It's about high school. I think there's so many more movies are about high school and college. And while I think I could identify with Everybody Wants Some more because I didn't go to high school in a public high school in Texas.
Yeah.
I did go to a college. Oh. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's just still such a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool. What's your number four?
All right. My number four is Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Yeah.
A great movie. One of the best movies.
One of the best superhero movies ever.
Yeah. I wouldn't see it. I think one of the best comic books ever.
One of the best I love the movie. I love the costumes in it. I love the characters. Rorschach's amazing.
Rorschach is such a good character.
Yeah.
And the whole point about him, when he like takes off his mask, you expect this reveal of a character you've been seeing earlier, but it's not. It's just this new character.
Yeah.
And so it plays really, really well. And Watchmen's fun.
Yeah. Watchmen, it's also the length of it is, it's 2 hours, 42 minutes.
Oh, the
extended cut is even longer.
Oh, my God.
But I never found myself getting bored watching it.
Yeah, I think it's got, it feels very, off of the page onto, it feels like it pretty much went off of the page onto the screen. It looks very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some issues I personally have with the translation, but other than that, I think it was a very great looking movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a, that's a solid number four for me.
Yeah. No, I think totally is. Yeah. Zack Snyder's
his, whatever
the better
is
superhero
for great
movies
movie.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
All right. What about your number four?
My number four is a movie I saw in film class last year. It was Magnolia.
Magnolia? I've never heard of it.
Magnolia is a very, very famous movie by Paul Thomas Anderson. And it it's a drama and it has tons of very famous people in it. I'm going to pull it up because I have only seen it once. But it is a really, really long movie. When I first watched it, it was
3 hours, 8 minutes. Wow,
yeah. And it's not an action movie. So that's 3 hours and 8 minutes of drama, which most people can't really sit through. And there's so much to glean out of this movie because all the characters, it's got an incredible soundtrack. All the characters have like these really deep, incredible moments. Mm-hmm. And it's about all these moments tying together. And there's this very big event that happens at the very end. But it is probably one of the best dramas I've ever seen. And it's really solid with the way it tells a story. And I mean, what's it got? It's got Patton Oswalt, Neil Flynn, John C. Reilly, I can't remember the one girl who was the redheaded girl from woman from wow I feel bad about forgetting her name now. It's got Philip Seymour Hoffman. Patton Oswalt was in it very briefly. Now I feel terrible, I can't remember her name. But yeah, it's got a lot of Philip Baker Hall. I got the thing up. There's so many, William H. Macy's in it. There's so many great actors in it. And each of them has this, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise
what?
Is one of his like award winning roles was in Magnolia.
No way.
Yes. And his character is incredible in it. And
he's not even in the top build, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's cause it was a departure. He's action star Tom Cruise. And this is like, he's really getting a strong dramatic role. And
whoa, that's cool.
I think he was nominated for an Oscar for this, at least.
Wow.
He might have won one for it. He was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Magnolia.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, Luke Cage. Just go away, ad.
Luke Cage? Oh, the new Marvel one. I haven't seen it.
All right, so yeah, and he was nominated for tons. He won Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture for, I won a Golden Globe for it. Did not win an Oscar, but probably deserved one. He was incredible. It's such a good character study. I love the movie. All right, what's your number three?
All right. My number three is... All right, so... This is sort of all looped together, but my number three is actually three movies and total about 9 hours, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's the theatrical cut. The extended cut's 12.
12 hours? Well, I've seen the theatrical cut. I don't think it was 12. Well,
no, I mean, these movies are long.
Whoa. Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't heard of Lord of the Rings...
Where are you?
I don't believe you.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, based on the book. It's amazing. If you, first off, read the book first. Read The Hobbit, then read the book.
I mean, I've only
you
read
You never read anything.
I don't read anything.
Yeah, but the books are so good. And then you watch the movies, and obviously they can't be completely true to the books, but they're long enough that they cover most of it. And so, it's not like The Hobbit, where they took,
they took three special
movies
liberties
to explain one book, which is...
Hey, yeah. I like The Hobbit.
Okay, well...
They took a little too many liberties, though, in
yeah,
that
but
one.
Lord of the Rings, it follows the story very closely. The characters are... I mean, they're fun. It's a great movie. It's about a fantasy world, and you really get involved in it.
It's the attention to detail is really good. Yeah. Some people aren't the biggest fans because it's really long, and you have to be into fantasy to like it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the people who like Lord of the Rings like it, like Trekkies, like Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it's very good. I'm sure we'll talk Lord of the Rings at some point in the future, probably just do an entire show on it.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not really up in the media lately.
It's got so many people in it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's got everybody in it.
And the first two were nominated for Best Picture, and the third one won it.
Yeah.
So it's fun because it's kind of one of those cornerstones of what's a big motion picture, like that. A big blockbuster that actually won awards. You can talk Rocky, but I mean, all three of them were nominated for Best Picture, and then the third one actually won it. So they're very well done. Attention to detail in the cast, like you said, is fantastic.
Yeah,
they went on to do a lot of stuff. At least most of them did. All right, so my number three. I'm sure you've seen my number three. Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Yep.
Oh, Tarantino. Yep.
Great one.
Yeah, I love the Western feel with it. I think it was such a departure. I got to see it for the road show where they did the actual on film 70mm.
Yeah.
Where they had, like, you could see, like, the flickering.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Oh, it's so fun.
You got
fun.
Little notebooks, little brown
they had,
ones,
like,
yeah.
They had the, and you could hear the score, and they had the intermission in between
that
it.
That was amazing, yeah.
It's such an experience with a Tarantino film. And
oh, yeah.
I thought, though, after seeing it the first time, I was disappointed a little bit. And then I rewatched it a second time, and on the second watch, it got better.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons this movie is so good is because of the cast in it. And they don't really, I mean, there's a kind of a twist in the middle of it, but they also don't really hide that twist from you.
Yeah.
And because they dropped that actor's name in the very beginning. If you guys don't want to be spoiled by it, then I won't say who the actor is. But all the actors and actresses in that movie work really well together, just like most Tarantino movies. And Hateful Eight surprised me because it's pretty fun to go to a theater and see Quentin Tarantino up on the screen, because that's never happened for me, at least. Yeah. I've never seen any of them in theaters. But Hateful Eight was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Good choice. And I love all of the Tarantino films.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to do a Tarantino episode soon.
Yeah.
Definitely. I just need to watch the last two Tarantino movies I haven't seen. Death Proof,
Jackie
Brown.
I've seen Pulp Fiction and Hateful Eight, and I think that's it.
All right. You guys see Reservoir Dogs.
Yep.
Django Unchained. Yep. Inglourious Basterds. The Kill Bills. All of them.
So. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Number two is... You guys may have heard it. I don't know. It's like a little indie film.
A little indie film?
Yeah, Avengers.
Avengers? Oh, Marvel's The Avengers. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
How, did it do well?
I think
it did well.
Might have broke like a billion or something.
I don't think
I
didn't hear
it
in the Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I think everybody knows Avengers.
Yeah, that movie surprised the heck out of me when I first saw it.
The first one, not the second.
Yeah, it's the first one is so rewatchable. You can.
Oh yeah.
It's just it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Superhero movie, a whole bunch of people: Iron Man, Hulk, Black Widow, Captain America, Hawkeye, and Thor.
We're in the Marvel.
Everybody knows this movie.
Yeah, all the Marvel movies are going crazy right now.
Yeah. And so I think why it's a great ensemble movie as opposed to just a great movie is because of all the different characters. I don't even think it's that. It's that all the other characters, or many of them, had their own solo movies beforehand. So coming in, you have all these different characters, but now they have to work together. Now they have to play off each other, and I mean, it worked.
They all get their respective screen time. They do.
Yeah.
They don't. Doesn't feel like one's overpowering the other. Doesn't feel like it's a Captain America movie with the rest of them in it.
Yeah.
Civil War. but it felt like you could get all of it. And it was kind of the proof that Marvel, what Marvel is trying to do, worked.
It worked.
It really worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's one that I don't think most of the following movies have captured the fun spirit of Avengers.
Yeah. And it was funny, too.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It was, yeah. Hulk grabs Loki and smashes him around.
Yeah.
Puny god.
Yeah.
Even though it's still to this day, we don't really know why Hulk suddenly has the power to Hulk out without previous knowledge.
Yup, yup.
He just kind of goes, that's I'm always angry.
Yeah.
My friend tried to explain that to me once, and I was like, ah, no, I'm not getting it.
Yeah. So yeah, go see that if you haven't.
Oh my God.
Lord Avengers. Of the Rings, Avengers. If you haven't seen these yet, I mean, I don't know. What are you doing? What else?
I mean,
you...
it's just because it's such a phase right now where all these movies are such in the forefront. Lord of the Rings, not so much because the Hobbit movies have gone. Are finished now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see if they're going to pull a J.K. Rowling and find some spin-off of Lord of the Rings just so they can keep that money train going.
I bet.
Like Harry Potter. Oh, my God.
Harry Potter. Okay, Fantastic Beasts looks good.
It does look good.
It's not going to be a Harry Potter movie.
But I don't know. I hope it's good, but I also don't because I think that series should have been... But we're going to do a Harry Potter episode before that movie comes out.
Yeah.
And a Doctor Strange episode, because I know Josh really wants
talking
to do
about Doctor Strange.
He really wants
about
to
Marvel
talk
movies.
Doctor Strange. Don't worry, you'll get your time soon.
Yeah.
Just got to make it through the horror season.
Oh, God. All right, what's your number two?
My number two is a movie I just saw, which I feel terrible about just seeing.
Seven Samurai.
No, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
I just saw this movie.
Okay, not going to lie, I still haven't seen that yet. So.
It is, in my mind, much better than The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hail The Godfather as the best mob movie ever, but Goodfellas is... It's such a different... It has a completely different feel to it. It's a lot more, I'd say, funny, but it's also about... I mean, think I'm funny? Funny how? Like a clown? But even so, it's all the characters in that really work well with each other. Joe Pesci and... Oh, wow.
Robert De Niro.
I'm going to forget all the actors today. It's going to be terrible. It's because there's so many to remember. But yeah, Goodfellas, the best mob movie in my mind.
Cool.
Better than any other ones. I'm very...
Did it work well, the characters playing off each other?
Oh, yeah, easily. That's what makes that movie so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're dropped with the main character, and then you kind of just have to... You get the other characters coming into it. So you follow one of their tracks, but then you get the tracks of the other guys coming. It's just a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they started out is just... is so good, and they start out with like a tidbit from that happens later on, and they rewind back just like, and it's really fun. I like it a lot. It's better than it's the best mob movie I've seen.
Cool. No.
All right, number one.
Right. My number one is Spotlight.
Spotlight. Yeah, the most recent Best Picture winner.
Yeah, and in fact, did I say this before?
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
But say it again.
Shout out to Mr. Cramp. He has a little cameo in the movie. When the guys are running around trying to recruit people or talk to people, he's there and he says no, and then he closes the door. But he's got his own IMDb page. So, but yeah, Spotlight. I think everybody's heard of it. It won Best Picture last year. It's a great movie.
I think the Oscars are not in everyone's spotlight. What would you just give us a rundown of Spotlight? What's it about?
It's about the Boston Globe team, the Spotlight team that uncovered the sex scandal in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a heavy movie.
Very heavy.
But it's the characters are amazing. It's you really feel it, and you kind of you understand the importance of what they discover, which is the whole point of the movie.
There's a really big kicker at the very end of it, and it's one of those ones where you have to see it to hear the story behind it, but it's not one you really want to hear.
Yeah.
And but like you said, the cast of this is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo,
Michael Keaton,
McAdams,
Liev Schreiber in a role I've never seen.
He was great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
John Slattery.
Yep.
Fun thing. So I used to work at the movies at AMC.
Yeah.
And it was Valentine's Day, and I was working, and obviously Deadpool was out, so it was kind of crazy. And then I get some guy comes up to me, and so I was like, "What?" He orders a large popcorn, large drink. I swipe his card, and then the receipt comes out, and it's John Slattery. And I look up. I said, "Oh my gosh!" He goes, because he's wearing a hood and a baseball cap, so nobody recognized him. I said, "I'm a big fan." He's like, "Oh, thank you." And then he kept walking.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. I feel like that. It's a Boston guy. Then there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It was really cool. And there were so many places in Boston. I've been to the Boston Globe plant or whatever you'd call it. Yeah. And so it was cool to see my city, sort of.
Yeah,
you know, doing it.
It's best picture.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right,
all right. Now, what's your number one?
My number one is how did this movie not make your top 10? You've seen it. Oh my god,
I might have forgotten it.
Which is the Quentin Tarantino masterpiece Pulp Fiction. Oh my god, is this movie great?
Yeah,
Pulp Fiction is one of the best movies ever created in my mind. I have like a list of the best movies ever created and my favorites. Pulp Fiction easily makes the best movies. If it is the best movie I believe that Quentin Tarantino's ever made. Mm-hmm. It is just the way that all the characters play off of each other. I mean, if you haven't seen Pulp Fiction, the characters, Tim Roth's in it, John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, Ving Rhames, Uma Thurman, all the characters in it are so good, and it follows all these different storylines, and all of them, there's so much stuff they leave open in that movie that is, you're like, all the Marcellus Wallace, the whole what's in the briefcase thing. And
yeah,
it's you follow all the characters' storylines in this, and you understand it's just the whole reason this movie is so good is because of all the actors in it, and that they put their best performance into it. And I think it is, it won best writing screenplay for Quentin Tarantino, the Oscars, but definitely deserved I wish it was a best picture, but I don't even remember what it went up for that year.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I mean, I haven't either, but it's that memorable that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the top five ensemble movies, everybody.
Do Allie's parents have any top ensemble movies?
We'll send them into the microphone.
I told you Diner and Animal House.
Diner and Animal House are some
good choices.
Yeah.
Good
choice. I was going to say Animal House.
We're definitely going to do a college movie list at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to make my list there. Yeah. So are we going to be saying goodbye to you guys? Bye, Rosen family.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Thank you.
I liked Pulp Fiction, but I didn't like Hateful Eight.
All right.
It says Grandma. Yeah.
So see you guys. So now we're going to move into our segment of the news. So we haven't done most news segments this week. Well, not this week, but this year. So I'm just going to throw these out, and Josh is going to comment on them.
Yeah, because I really have no idea what's coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, so news. One of the things that just actually came out recently is that Thor Ragnarok casted Sam Neill in it. Sam Neill, well-known for Jurassic Park, and more recently, a film by the same director, Taika Waititi, did Hunt for the Wilder People, and he's in that. And he was also Event Horizon, which is one of my favorite horror movies. And so he is playing a character. There is currently no information on what his character will be, but it says that it's likely going to be a small cameo. So what do you think about Sam Neill being in Thor Ragnarok?
I was like, I just gotta remember
Sam Neill. I'll pull up a picture of him.
I don't remember. Oh,
there we go. Oof, don't kill our listeners' ears, please.
Okay. Yep. All right. Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he is now currently in it. Ooh. I hope we've been on air.
I should have been
coming out monitor right now. Well, it sounds like we're going.
You can just.
Check. All right. Hopefully, we are. We're gonna just check and make sure that we're coming through air. Okay. Yeah. We are coming through.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, good. Just double checking. All right, so yes, what do you think of Sam Neill being cast in Thor Ragnarok?
I think that could be really cool. I loved him in Jurassic World.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. I mean, yeah.
And no. He will be alongside his former Jurassic Park co-star.
In Jurassic World 2.
No.
I'm kidding.
No. He's,
I'm not looking forward
Jeff
to
Jeff Goldblum has also been cast in Thor Ragnarok.
Wait, Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum's in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh my gosh. Which wow.
Is, talk about an interesting movie. This I think the Thor movies have been kind of swept under the rug. I think they're fun, but
yeah.
This is talk about an incredible change of like so all this stuff I think people are forgetting about cuz Civil War has been going on lately. Like
yeah.
People have been forgetting that. So in Thor Ragnarok we have the director of What We Do in the Shadows, which is one of the greatest comedies of the last few years. Taika Waititi.
See that. Do you have that on Blu-ray?
I do have it on I have it on digital. We'll watch it. It is incredibly funny. I think one of the funniest movies I've seen in a while.
Yep.
Yep. We have the same cast of Thor usually. So we got Idris Elba. We've got Chris Hemsworth. The Tom Hiddleston. The guy. We have Hannibal Lecter. Whoever, forgot who plays him. Wow, I'm bad with actor names today, aren't I?
Yeah. But, I'm disappointed.
I know. It's,
who plays Odin?
Odin, Hannibal Lecter, the guy. I forget what his name is. Oh my god, I feel terrible about this. But he's in it. And then so is Mark Ruffalo's Hulk is in it also. Apparently, right. Planet right. Hulk.
That should, yeah.
And now we're hearing Jeff Goldblum's in this. And Sam Neill is in this.
Wow.
Talk about a ridiculous, like, this movie, no one's been paying attention to it, but this movie's been slowly getting more and more ridiculously crazy and fun.
Yeah. Here we go. We got Natalie Portman, Anthony Hopkins. Stellan Skarsgård.
Wait, Stellan Skarsgård's in this?
He's in Thor.
He is?
Yes. Wait. He's the scientist.
I get him confused with the other Skarsgård. I forget. Wait, let me pull up Thor Ragnarok right now. I'm getting IMDb page. Please come save me. But yeah, so Sam Neill gets cast in Thor Ragnarok.
Wow.
Do you think though? I think what they're saying is it's probably a small thing. So are you excited to see Sam Neill possibly?
I'm excited. Yeah.
Wait, Carl Urban's in this now too? Oh, please don't let Carl Urban be evil. I hate evil Carl Urban.
Oh.
Cate Blanchett's in this.
This is, wow.
Yeah, talk about what's like, just, this is getting crazier and crazier. And
there are so many
talk people about, no one's paying attention to the fact that this is going to become, Tessa Thompson's in it. This is going to be a very, very.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be a very big movie.
This is definitely going to make some money.
I just hope that people go out to see it because I feel like, I mean, I personally, I've seen every single Marvel movie since Phase 2 started on opening weekend except for Thor 2.
Why?
I don't know. It just didn't excite me. And I ended up seeing Thor 2 in theaters like a month after its release.
Well,
but I'm worried that I want people to go out and see Thor Ragnarok. I want Thor Ragnarok to compete with Civil War. It sounds, cause like there's no hype for it. No one's been hyping up, oh, Thor Ragnarok. But
yeah, well, it's cause Doctor Strange is the next one coming out and everybody's hyping that up.
But like we were hyping Doctor Strange during the time we were talking about Civil War before Civil War came out.
But I wasn't here last year.
Still, but no, I'm saying in general.
Yeah.
But then this is coming out within after Doctor Strange. So it's going to come out in November 2017. Hmm. But this is sounding incredible.
Yeah.
We need more.
Incredible.
Like, this is going to be insane.
Yeah.
And like the fact that we might be getting Planet Hulk or at least like some kind of rendition of it with Mark Ruffalo.
Island Hulk, yeah.
Island Hulk. I like Small Moon Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is
Oh my gosh.
This looks real good.
But yeah, would you like to see Sam Neill in future role,
yes,
like in the future Marvel Universe?
I mean, I love him. I think he's a great actor. So
I think he
could do really well. I think he'd be really cool.
So yeah, so Thor Ragnarok, I think we're going to be talking about this a lot more. I mean, we have two more Marvel movies to get through before Thor Ragnarok. Spider-Man Homecoming comes out before that.
I'm so excited for that.
And Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out before that. In fact, when does Spider-Man Homecoming come out?
I don't know, but I can tell you it can't come soon enough.
Spider-Man Homecoming, July 7, 2017. So we are getting three Marvel movies next year. Three Marvel movies.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, next year's gonna be great. But no joke, next year for
yeah, wow.
All right, so that was Thor Ragnarok. That was first. Get ready for another fun news fact. As we talked about earlier, you said, actually, no, we're gonna one sec. That's my little intermission.
I'm so looking forward to Ragnarok.
As we've been talking horror movies in the past and talking about ridiculous pushback dates, so there's been two movies that have been pushed back. So
don't tell me they're pushing back Avatar again.
What? No. Good. We're talking about horror movies.
I love Avatar.
No, remember how they pushed back? Before Awake was a movie that's supposed to come out in 2014.
Awake?
Before Awake.
Oh, is this the one you were talking about before?
Yeah, so Before Awake's supposed to come out in 2014. It didn't. It's supposed to come out in 2015. It didn't. This year's supposed to come out. Three different release dates. Still hasn't come out. Mm-hmm. And guess what? And then this also happened with a thing called Amityville: The Awakening, pushed back multiple times over and over again. But guess what?
What?
The movie Rings has been delayed again to February.
What?
We have a trailer for this. This movie was supposed to come out so long ago. Like, this movie had slated to come out in... I think there was even a talk when it was supposed to come out on April 1st. Supposed to come out on April 1st of this year.
Well, did not come out. Just a prank, I guess.
Yeah, no? I guess it was. Maybe Rings isn't. They managed to make an entire trailer and like they're like a full-on marketing campaign for this movie, and it's not coming out, which we have seen in the past. It's not all lost. It's not, hopefully it won't be it before I wake, but we had seen this stuff like, there have been, Green Inferno. That movie was supposed to come out in 2014, did not, came out in this, but, and we like, all, everything was ready. There was even press screenings of this movie, didn't come out.
Why was it pushed back?
No, we don't know. I mean, that movie was, I've yet to see it, but what I've heard is that people puking. It's
34 on Rotten Tomatoes.
People
yeah,
puking know. The audience level, kind of.
Like bad?
No, no. Like,
or like scary.
Gross.
Or like yeah,
if you don't know
that.
Eli Roth, he is the master of gross horror. He did the Hostel series, which I refuse to watch because I don't like torture porn. But his last movie is Green Inferno, which I've considered. Apparently there's a new cannibal movies are this really weird sect of horror. I'm sorry, I'm gonna jump into a I'm gonna jump into a horror stint right now, but cannibal movies started by the movie Cannibal Holocaust, Cannibal Ferox. These are old really like gross. Just what people don't understand is the cannibal movies are the niche of the most disgusting and grotesque movies ever. Cannibal Holocaust was so bad, and it was the this is the original found footage movie. It was so bad that the director of it was put on trial for killing his actors.
Wow.
And then the actors came out and said, no, we're still alive. Do not worry.
Oh,
but
my
Cannibal
gosh.
Holocaust is famous for that. That is one of the most disturbing movies ever created.
Oh, my God.
It is incredible, and it started this thing, this very strange niche horror called cannibal movies. And it this kinds of movies really cause people, some people to like, some it's a very weird sect that a lot of people don't watch. And so Green Inferno comes out last year, and it's supposed to be Eli Roth's love letter to Cannibal Holocaust. And then just recently there was a new cannibal movie that screened.
What is it?
One sec. And I heard some rumors about it that it is nuts. Oh.
Like disgusting nuts?
Raw. So this is what the Daily Beast said. There's the new movie that showed at Toronto International at TIFF called Raw, which is one of the most violent films of this year. And it says it's from French director, and it is about I don't know. It sounds, from what I've heard, it's going to be. I'm so excited. I
you're gonna go watch it?
I mean, I hopefully will. Yeah, so from what I've heard is it is, yeah, from what I'm reading right now, it is absolutely nuts. So yeah, we'll keep you posted on Raw, but cannibal movies come very rarely, and they're usually pretty nasty. But yeah, so that got pushed back. Sorry for that tangent. And so Rings gets pushed back to February. Do you think this movie's ever gonna come out?
Yeah, because they've generated enough hype that they know they can make a lot of money off it. And I think that's going to push it. And then also, if they already have a trailer made, that means they already have all this footage. I think they realize they're not going to lose money making it.
But Before I Wake was a movie that has been postponed now for 3 years. And when that movie was supposed to come out in 2014, they had trailers for it. They had tons of trailers for it. They had trailers that I've seen that same poster hanging up in the AMC by my house for the last 3 years. And so I don't know. Rings has been in development for years now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not then. If it's really been going on for 3 years.
Well, that's Before I Wake. Rings has been in production for a really, really long time. Oh. But this is the first time we've seen like the trailers for them. They have trailers now.
Yeah.
So I guess they're going somewhere. The other thing I want to talk about is that the early morning seat time, the kind of thing with horror movies is January is where horror movies go to die. Most really bad horror movies come out in January. This is slated to come out the first weekend in February. Do you think this means that they're worried it's bad?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think they're worried it's not going to live up to the old ones.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable thing to say.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, Rings 2017. What a depressing thing to say. I'll just actually see when was this supposed to come out? This one was set 13 years after the first one. When did they start working on it? Rings 3D in August 2014 is when they started working on this. Whoops. So, all right. So what we talked about earlier today was the Angry Birds. So Sony Pictures and New Line
oh,
says
God.
That they are in talks to create an animated movie based off of Fruit Ninja. All right, so the Angry Birds movie makes $350 million over the summer box office. It was in the top 10 highest grossing of the summer for a really long time.
That's because it's so popular.
But it came out, like, do you think Fruit Ninja's going to do that too?
No!
Are we going to start seeing, so we talk about a video game, like, we're in the age of comic book movies. And the sad thing is, I'm really worried the age of video game movies is going to be the age of iPhone video game movies.
I think this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. This is almost as bad
as hearing that they're making an Angry Birds movie.
No, Angry Birds was awesome. Angry Birds is characters. This is a Fruit Ninja.
Oh my god.
This is almost as bad as that time that you know the Key and Peele sketch Substitute Teacher?
Yeah.
They said that they were going to make a movie based on just that.
Oh my god, that would be awful.
Exactly. And this is worse than that.
God, then we're going to start seeing the Doodle Jump movie and Oh my god, please don't make this the video game movie renaissance.
Angry Birds worked. Angry Birds, you've got the birds, they're hilarious. My dad bought the Angry Birds. Oh no, he got the free trial. But the only reason he got it was not to play it, but because he liked the noises.
Well, do you
it's
think
it's so funny?
So Angry Birds, do you think Angry Birds worked? I thought it was fine. Why won't Fruit Ninja work?
Fruit Ninja won't work because you never see any. You are the Fruit Ninja. You're the one cutting everything. There's no characters.
Well, in a move recently with the release of Fruit Ninja 2 on the Xbox, they added in actual characters, actual ninjas to train.
Yeah, who's heard of that? Who's heard of Fruit Ninja 2?
I have. I've played it. It's really fun on the Kinect. I'll give you that. But
do you actually get to move your hands
and slash stuff? It's really, really fun.
Okay, that's fun.
Are you also worried? My biggest worry is that when people say, oh, the video game renaissance is happening, are we going to see a string of iOS application or like mobile game movies?
If Fruit Ninja works, if Fruit Ninja makes a lot of money, yeah, it's going to happen.
Oh, God.
That's what studios are going for. Why would you make an Angry Birds movie it's not to make a good movie, make a good family. They're just trying to make money. They're not trying to win any awards.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's one of the highest grossing ones. Maybe we'll get a Pokemon Go movie.
That would be bad.
You know what? If it's written by Max Landis, I'm all game.
I can't think of any iPhone apps that really make a good movie.
You know they're making an emoji movie?
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are making an emoji movie. Oh my god, this is it's just shot sank in. It's like
August 11th, 2017.
Emoji the movie.
Oh my god.
Why?
Emoji movie. Express yourself.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Please stop.
Who's on it for cast? TJ Miller.
Okay. I like them. I like him a lot.
And that's all we have.
Oh my god, please don't start making movies off of iPhone games.
This could be horrible.
Assassin's
Creed, that's cool. That's a cool story.
But if that flops and
if Angry Birds flops, there's not going to be any.
Well, Angry Birds didn't flop.
I mean, not if Angry Birds flops. If Fruit Ninja flops.
I think if Fruit Ninja flops, then
we're done.
We're done. And we're just going to be like, "All right, okay, no video game movies." And we'll wait until
iPhone video game movies.
Hopefully. I'm kind of hoping Fruit Ninja flops. Please don't.
I really hope it flops.
Oh my god, people are like, "Oh, remember when that was that time of video game movies?" Like, "No. No, no, no. That was all the iPhone video game movies. Those don't count."
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, there are good Okay, I know you hate Lara Croft, but I love that movie.
No, but I've heard the Lara Croft movies are very good.
They're fun. Little bit like National Treasure except like
Those are like, and I love the first Mortal Kombat. It's so campy.
Assassin's Creed. I haven't seen that yet. I want to.
I've heard one of the rumors I've heard about Assassin's Creed is that 70% of it is outside of the Animus.
I'm
holding my tongue until I see it.
I've been thinking about that, and it's not going to be an Assassin's Creed movie. It's just going to be a movie, and there's this element that's like Assassin's Creed.
But no one plays the Assassin's Creed video games to walk around as Desmond.
Yeah.
No one cares about that. You just do it so you can get out of that and get in the Animus.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
If they make a movie, and it could, if I could choose any one game that would make a really good movie, and they actually make a good movie about it, it would be Portal. It would be the Portal
movies.
Portal
would be really fun.
That would be...
I would love to see a Portal movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
All right. And you know, they have the voice of GLaDOS. That's a great tie-in, because the voice of GLaDOS is part of the next topic we're talking about. Pacific Rim 2. So
they've been talking about this for a while.
Yes. Okay. So
quick tangent. If you guys haven't looked up the trailer for Atlantic Rim, you should look it up.
Oh
it's
God.
The low budget version
is of, it like the Asylum Pictures Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
All right.
It's so funny. The show's hilarious.
Pacific Rim, the original one, made a lot of money. I think this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I love Pacific Rim. Yeah. Guillermo del Toro. And so what happened with Pacific Rim 2 is it was pulled off halfway through pre-production. Universal pulled it because they wanted to focus on other projects like Godzilla, King Kong versus Godzilla, King Kong, Skull Island, all this stuff.
Yep.
And so they pulled Pacific Rim 2,
yep.
which made me sad, but like, okay, honestly, the Legendary has got the currently as the cornerstone of all interesting, like great monster movies. So it's fine as long as we get King Kong versus Godzilla. Yeah. But then talks came back up and it was officially greenlit from Universal and Legendary, but without Guillermo del Toro directing. Instead, we have Steven S. D. Knight, the director of Daredevil Season 1.
Oh.
Which is great.
I haven't seen that yet.
It is fantastic. But I need to see it,
yeah.
And so what came out today is that Pacific Rim 2 will start filming this November.
Wow.
And it will be shot in Australia. And guess who is going to be the lead?
Chris Pratt.
No.
Oh.
John Boyega. John Boyega is Finn from Star Wars.
That could be cool.
Isn't that sound really cool? So
that could be really cool.
What jumps to my mind instantly is that this is going to be Stacker Pentecost as a young kid.
Yeah.
So are we looking at a Pacific Rim?
He's the main character, right?
Yeah. He's Idris Elba's character in the first one.
Oh yeah.
So are we going to be seeing him as a kid?
Oh.
This is good. This is a good side. Are you excited for Pacific Rim 2?
Oh yeah. I mean, I love Pacific Rim. No matter what I hear, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah. IMAX. Big explosions, please.
Yeah.
Which is kind of suck because we're not going to be anywhere near an IMAX theater because this will be released
RPX.
February 23rd, 2018. So we've got over a year before it comes out.
It will still be at school.
But hey, you know, well, no, we're not going to be near an IMAX theater.
Does RPX count?
It's not. I mean, I want to see it in like the 100-foot tall IMAX theater in San Francisco. But still excited for Pacific Rim 2. I'm glad that it's firm greenlit. And they're already starting principal production, and like they're already ready to start filming it.
Huh.
So
so excited for that.
So that's gonna be great. All right. That was all of that took a while.
Is that all the news?
I was gonna show you the trailer for Passengers on Air, but I don't think I'm gonna do that right now.
Yeah.
So we're gonna hold that off. So we're gonna wrap up the show now. Coming up next week.
Figures.
Coming up like next week is going to be, we're going to do a box at the very end.
Yeah.
Next week, we got a really, really big, interesting talk of movies. And we're going to watch a movie this next week. We will. It's parents' weekend this weekend, so we couldn't.
Yeah.
But this week, we will.
I was actually singing in acapella groups.
Oh,
you know?
So was I.
Oh, yeah, he was. That's true.
All right. So next weekend.
Next summer, what's coming out?
Next summer.
Next
starring.
Summer, though, you would just say, oh, my God.
We're going to talk about 2017 come December. And that's going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah.
But coming next weekend is going to be Deepwater Horizon.
I'm excited for that.
I'm guessing we're both probably going to see this. And then probably going to each see a separate movie.
Yeah, and I still want to see Magnificent Seven.
So do I. Honestly, I might wait till
it's released on.
Yeah, because we're gonna get fall behind otherwise.
Yeah.
The second one, I will take the hit on this one. You can go see Masterminds instead. But I'm gonna take the hit and see Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yep. Have you read the book yet?
Nope. I have no interest in it. This movie looks bad. Queen of Katwe. I would have loved to see this.
This looks good,
but I don't think it's coming out in our theater. I don't think we're going to have a chance to.
Wait, if it does, I thought it came out last week.
No, it comes out this week.
Oh.
If it comes out, though, and if it's in our theater, I will see that instead of Peregrine. And then the last one, Masterminds.
Yay.
Josh, very excited to see this. So we will probably see two movies for you guys next week, and we'll show you guys, and we'll give you guys reviews for that.
Yeah.
You should
go see Masterminds. It looks really funny. It's got Zach Galifianakis.
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't seen it yet. But
and everybody.
Yeah. All right.
It's really funny. Or go see Storks.
Oh, my God, Storks. I heard good things. Okay. Yeah. All right. Blu-ray releases.
By the way, it's spelled B-L-U.
B-L-U.
Like there's no E.
Yeah. Is it like Bluetooth? I don't know.
All right. I think Bluetooth.
First on the Blu-ray releases is Central Intelligence.
Oh, you haven't seen that yet, have you?
I have not. It's very funny.
It's very funny. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart play great off each other. It is a Rock and Kevin Hart movie.
Yep.
But It's fun. It's really fun. We can watch that together. I'll watch that with you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'll probably rent it. I have a buildup of movies I need to see.
Yeah.
Also coming out, another movie I didn't see, The Shallows.
I haven't seen that yet, but I heard great things about it.
I've heard both good and bad.
Oh.
What's her name's earpiece bugged the crap out of me. Sorry. Blake Lively's earring was really annoying. Apparently it comes into play later on, but it looked really annoying, and I was like, I'm not going to watch this because of that. Which is kind of sad, but also it came out while I wasn't in America. Movie I have seen, Warcraft, comes out.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see that.
It is, I would say, it was a very interesting, actually my review is up on our YouTube channel, Animatronic Dinosaurs on YouTube. It is a very, I would say it's great for the fans of the video game. The fans of the video game will adore this movie. I didn't know what the heck was going on at all. It was a very straightforward plot. But I had no idea what was going on. There was too many, like, imagine if Lord of the Rings didn't prep you on all the characters or like any of the lore. It just kind of threw you into it and said, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like that's a lot. And I felt Warcraft was trying to be, was really, really trying to be Lord of the Rings. And it really wasn't. But it also had this really fun vibe to it. This kind of like pop art, really weird, like kind of just fun feel to it. And you could really tell the characters were the characters in it liked who they are, except for where's Ben Foster? Good Lord, what a bad casting call! Ben Foster played Medivh, the wizard.
In
Warcraft.
Oh,
and oh wow, what a bad call! His character was so over the top and ridiculous. I just did not believe it, and I was just not. I don't know. I just didn't really care.
Do you think he looks a little bit like Justin Timberlake and Jared Leto kind of had a child?
Yes, okay. Yes, definitely. And he's just his character's bit. I got to see this before it's released in America.
I want to see Inferno. He's in Inferno coming up. I know you don't want to see
that.
You
will see Inferno. Yeah, I will not
I'm,
be seeing
I'm
Inferno.
Seeing Inferno.
In fact, I think Inferno is supposed to come out the same weekend as Rings.
October 28th.
October 28th, I believe, was the same weekend Rings was supposed to come out. Actually, let's see it.
Oh, he was in The Finest Hours. I love that movie.
October 28th, you will be seeing... yes, you'll be seeing Inferno. I probably will not be seeing Inferno.
Can I say shout out to the movies on IMDb that have their own background?
Nice.
Like Finest Hours.
Yeah, and so does Warcraft.
Warcraft, yeah.
But yeah, Warcraft's a movie for the fans, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of ridiculous at points.
I want to see it with some of my friends that actually play Warcraft.
Yeah, I saw it with my friend Eric, who's a huge fan of the game. And he was like explaining little details. When I walked out, he was like, that is an incredible movie. And so I'm really happy that what it did was satisfy the fans.
And that's all you need.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they were... I guess it might have been what they were going for. All right. Also coming out is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Did you see this?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
Did you?
I loved this movie.
Hmm.
Shout out to my friend Miki. She saw this movie 3 times. Huh. But I went into this with so little expectations and was blown away by how funny it was.
Huh.
It's a great rom-com. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's really funny, and it's set in a really fun location, and I was really surprised. I thought it had some heart to it. I thought it's by no means as good as like a great movie, but it was fun. I might even buy it on Blu-ray.
Hmm.
I really like Mike and Dave.
Yeah.
All right, and then lastly is a movie I doubt either of us have seen. It's called The Neon Demon.
No, I mean I've heard of it.
All right, so The Neon Demon is, I believe it.
It's about the fashion industry and somebody's perfect. Yeah.
I think it was, I don't know if it was considered, if it was considered indie, if it made a full wide release. I know it sounds
very
interesting.
It was definitely playing in Boston.
Yeah.
Boston
it was playing in Germany when I was there. But yeah, I don't know much about it. I know it's Nicholas Winding Refn who did Drive. Drive's a very, very good movie. I need to rewatch it. But yeah, this is his movie. From what I've heard, it's really weird, very just like strange.
Mm-hmm.
Very divided among critics too. Critics who saw it, who liked it, really liked it. And critics who saw it and didn't like it, really didn't like it. All right, so wrapping this up, the video on demand, we have Ghostbusters. I love this movie.
Oh.
I will not be getting it on video on demand because I want to get the Blu-ray of it.
Yep, fair enough.
But it's this for... And then Independence Day Resurgence.
Hmm. I like that. I know you didn't.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, Independence Resurgence. Sorry, we're going to wrap up soon because I need to use the bathroom. And then let's talk about the box office for this week.
Yeah.
As you know, we did not see anything this week.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I mean, it's kind of... It was Magnificent Seven, and that was...
So, yeah. Topping the box office weekend was Magnificent Seven. Good. With $35 million. That's solid. That's very solid. It has not made its budget back yet. Made a budget of $90 million. I think that they should have realized that. I mean, obviously, very few movies make their box office back, but it looks like it's on track to do that, unless they have a bad drop off next week, which they might because a lot of movies are coming out.
Yep.
Number two is Storks.
I can see that's sort of the family movie out right now.
Yeah. Storks gets 21.8, mm-hmm. which is very solid for it. I'm glad these opened one and two. I'm very glad these opened one and two. Sitting at number three in its third week is
Don't Breathe.
Sully.
Oh.
No, Don't Breathe is in its fifth week.
Sully.
Huh. Sully made 13.8. Sounds like people are still going out to see Sully. That's good.
And it's gotten good reviews. It's gotten really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's grossed $92 million.
That's really good. Yeah,
it's very good. It's going into more theaters now. And so those are the big hitters. And then in number four with $4.5 million is Bridget Jones's Baby.
Okay.
I guess Bridget Jones still kicking. Good for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got good reviews. Yeah.
I had no idea this was going to get good reviews.
Yeah.
Crawling into number five with 4.1 is Snowden.
Snowden, yep. Good choice. I love Snowden.
And crawling number six is Blair Witch with 3.9.
Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I talked about it on the last show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to.
Seven is Don't Breathe with 3.8.
Go see Don't Breathe.
I love Don't Breathe.
Please go see Don't Breathe.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's for everybody. There's some scenes that I've talked to some people who've seen it, and there's some scenes in that are really disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
Crawling in number eight, still kicking, is Suicide Squad with 3.1. In its eighth week, it is still in the top 10 highest grossing. Number nine.
When the bow breaks.
Why is this still existing? God. Let's go. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Please get out of here. And it grossed over its budget, which means we might be seeing a sequel.
No, we please can't.
Just stop. Screen Gems. Number 10. Kubo? Thank you. Kubo.
Good.
Kubo
good.
Is number 10.
97 on Rotten Tomatoes, guys.
1.1
1
million. Great movie. Sadly, still has not grossed its budget back, which is really sad for Laika, because I really want Laika to make money off of this movie.
Yeah.
And so hopefully it'll make its budget, because I want them to make more movies.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's not. It might
do you
not
think,
do that.
Do you think it's in talks for Oscar?
Oh, it's
definitely animated.
It's going to be nominated. I hope it wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Was Zootopia's Disney's biggest?
Angry Birds.
No.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds would only be nominated if no other movies came out.
Zootopia.
Yeah.
Oh wait, Zootopia also came out this
Queen
year.
Queen of Cowboy did open, but it opened limited this week.
Okay.
It made $305,000 on 52 screens.
Yep.
And then remember we talked about that movie, The Dressmaker. Did not open wide. It opened at $180,000.
Which one was The Dressmaker?
You remember that movie with the just like really
Kate Winslet. And...
Yeah, the Renaissance-y piece.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right, so that is Ben-Hur is still alive.
Damn.
Jungle Book is still alive.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Jungle Book made 14,000. How is that still on? It's still in theaters.
What week is that?
It's in its 24th week. It's still in theaters after 24 weeks.
Okay, can we just say two more weeks and that's half a year?
Yep. Not to mention the fact that Civil War is no longer in theaters.
Wow.
So the last few theaters, Jungle Book is still being played at 34 theaters.
What are those 34? I bet you it's Boston.
You want to talk about a flop? The Wildlife is played at 1,400 theaters and only grossed less than $500,000 this weekend. Remember, is that Robinson Crusoe terrible anime movie we talked about?
Yeah.
All right.
That's $35 per theater.
That's really sad. All right.
That's about four tickets.
That is losing money, hopefully.
Wow.
We're going to wrap up the show. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Animatronic Dinosaurs.
Shout out to the families who are at Lafayette.
If you don't know yet, you can tune in to hear me and my co-host Kyle tonight on Cranberry Juice Cocktail at 9 p.m. We'll probably be plugging that show after the end of this one. We'll probably plug it. I don't know. It's a co-together show. So if you guys are interested in that, and then next weekend we will have more reviews for you. We'll have more news for you guys. So yeah, we'll tune in next weekend at 12 p.m. Yeah.
Eastern Standard Time on
Sunday.
I'm
Josh Nolan.
I'm Allie Rosen, and you've been listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. We are Animatronic Dinosaurs.